Please be seated. It's my pleasure today to welcome Kyle Evans, who will be speaking, preaching, and doing all sorts of things up here. For those that don't know Kyle, she's going to introduce and say some things about herself, but we're delighted to have her here today and to talk some about her two experiences as a missioner to Haiti. And welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. I want to thank Rick for the introductions and also thank Tim for that perfect hymn, hymn 529, because that echoes absolutely the call to mission. Thank you for that. Open our eyes, O Christ, to see you. Open our ears, O Christ, to hear you. Open our hearts, O Christ, to love you. Open our hands, O Christ, to serve you. Amen.
Amen.
I want to provide a little additional background for those who may not know me. My husband, Eric, our three sons, Stephen, Christopher, and Peter, and I have been members of Trinity for the past 21 years. One of the first people we met was Helen Montgomery. Her warm and welcoming introduction to Trinity immediately inspired us to get involved. Early commitments included house tour and teaching church school. Once our oldest son was age eligible for youth group, I also served as one of the first TYG sponsors. Following the departure of our first assistant rector, John Capilero, who had primary oversight of youth and children's ministries, I assumed a new staff position, director of youth and children's ministries. In 2008, having served in this role for 10 years, I decided to resign to further pursue my call in global ministry and soon accepted my first appointment as an Episcopal missioner in the Diocese of Haiti. Trinity has certainly been a church home for my entire family. It has also been a nurturing, loving, and supportive faith community that has helped define my ministry. Whether here or engaged in global mission, I have always felt Trinity's prayers and spiritual presence. As you know, Trinity is holding a parish fun, emphasis on fun, fundraiser on Saturday, February 21st, to provide support for the Vacation Bible School programming of the Episcopal Diocese of Haiti, Region Nord. This ministry was part of the work that I was asked to do during my most recent appointment in Haiti. It therefore seemed timely for me to share some of my experiences during my 20 months in North Haiti. Through selections from this morning's readings, general reflections, and the sharing of stories, I hope to offer a glimpse into the joy and blessing of serving in the Episcopal Diocese of Haiti, the largest diocese of the Episcopal Church. My return to Haiti in March of 2013 was as unpredictable for me as my first appointment. In October 2012, I had just stepped away from one of two part-time jobs, with the hope of securing some time to discern what God really meant for me. 3 years had passed since I returned from my first appointment in Haiti. It's fair to say that with the exception of my volunteer work, I felt directionless and unfulfilled. Just as I looked to time for discernment, I received a call from a dear friend and fellow missioner asking me to consider returning to Haiti, this time to serve under Bishop Auger Beauvoir in the north. In some ways, I felt I was not ready to even consider such a possibility. In other ways, though, it was an unexpected answer to a yearning I felt and yet could not completely define. As has been the case throughout all of my ministry in the church, my family offered their complete support of this new chapter as a missioner. The months flew by, and soon I found myself back in Haiti, a country that had become so much a part of my life. I had visited the Region Nord, specifically Cap Haitien, during my initial appointment. The first time was during a visit by my husband, Eric. We enjoy the spectacular historic sites of the Citadel Fortress and Sanssouci Palace, built by Henri Christophe in the mid-1800s, as well as the beauty of the Caribbean beaches and the blue, blue ocean. Little did I know that I would return to that setting and help build community, capacity, and sustainable ministry for the Diocese of Haiti. During my residency, I lived in a two-bedroom apartment located on the Boulevard, a major roadway that runs along the oceanfront of Cap Haitien. Each morning, I rose out of bed and looked out of a double window onto the ocean view, which often included fishermen casting their nets out of their hand-constructed boats. Regardless of the challenges of the previous day or those that might be met on the new day, that view was an important reminder of the beauty of God's creation and the hope and promise in Haiti. The ministry of a missioner is multifaceted and never-ending. Bishop Auger Beauvoir had been elected as the first suffragan bishop of the Diocese of Haiti. I had had the pleasure of serving then Reverend Auger Beauvoir during my first appointment in 2008 to 2009, when he was dean of the Episcopal Seminary, Seminaire de Théologie, in Port-au-Prince. Now, as suffragan bishop, he'd been given the charge of focusing on ministry in the region Nord or North Haiti, with a particular hope that the region might become its own diocese. The Commission on Ministry of the Diocese of Haiti had established priorities for the North, which included the empowerment of women, youth, and young adults, strengthening of existing churches, schools, and clinics, and development of new ministry, revitalization of an agricultural technical school, establishment of two radio stations, deepening of established partnerships and encouragement of new ones, and any other efforts identified under Bishop Auger's leadership. Bishop Auger and I had spoken of these priorities on the phone as I considered returning to Haiti. Eventually, I shared these priorities as I wrote fundraising letters, preached, and spoke with people about my new appointment. However, I didn't fully understand the scope of this daunting undertaking until I was on the ground and working side by side with Bishop Auger, area clergy, and laity. The vision, while exciting, was massive. The eagerness to meet certain benchmarks in advance of General Convention 2015 added further challenge in a culture where the sense of time and deadlines is, shall we say, more relaxed. My early months in the North included regular weekend trips with Bishop Auger and his remarkable wife, Sorette, to different church communities in the region. This was incredibly helpful to me in getting a sense of the landscape of the area and the distinction of each parish. I should explain that in Haiti, a parish is actually a cluster of churches. There is one priest in charge of each parish, which represents a central church as well as missions and preaching stations. One such parish, La Resurrection, had seven churches. One of its missions was a three-hour ride from Cap Haitien, followed by a rugged drive through a riverbed and a four-hour hike. I had the privilege of visiting that mission, called Notre Dame, with Bishop Auger. Just imagine moving up and down mountains, along narrow pathways, navigating challenging terrain, residents and their burros traveling in the opposite direction. Oh, and of course, the band that chose to play along the way. The final approach brought the team to a beautiful new church and school, serving 500 members and 300 students, respectively. All building supplies had been brought up the steep hill by hand or head multiple times a day. It was an effort that forged the commitment of Notre Dame's partner church of 25 years, along with the spirited dedication of the people of Mola. Following our arrival and a quick meal, I was witness to the baptism of 23 people, young and old. We spent the night on the mountain and then participated in a dedication liturgy for the church and school. During that service, most of those who'd been baptized the previous day were confirmed. Talk about evangelism. Then it was time to make the return hike and road travel back to Cap. The experience revealed true rural Haitian life, a deeply faithful community, and the fruits of a long-standing bond between a church in North Carolina and a church and school in Haiti. It's reflective of this morning's reading from Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Just before our journey to Mola, Bishop Ogier had shared his desire to hold a week-long women's camp and a two-week young adult camp during July and August of 2013. Both would focus on leadership development. Now, remember that I arrived back in Haiti on March 1st of 2013. It was at least a month before the bishop shared this idea. He wanted 100 participants at each camp and estimated the total cost to be $15,000. Where was the funding coming from? Apparently, that was my job. Miraculously, the funds needed were raised within an incredibly short time period. While identifying various funding sources, I was able to develop new and important relationships with members of the Diocese of New York and our own bishop, Bishop Clifton Daniel. These alliances have reinforced the profound love that countless Americans have for Haiti, particularly the devotion that Episcopalians have to the Diocese of Haiti. Given my experience with youth ministry, especially Mission Philadelphia, the planning and execution of the camps came naturally. However, my mandate was not merely to plan and facilitate the camps. It was to develop leadership among the camp attendees that would help to assure their sustainability and capacity building. The women's camp was a fairly easy forum for this. Women are the backbone of Haiti. They have a particular determination and level of commitment, not only for themselves, but especially for their children. Women naturally assumed leadership roles within the camp and welcomed the information shared in the programming. It seemed as though the three-year timetable for complete leadership of the women's camp to be assumed by the Haitian women was a realistic one. The young adult camp was a different matter, however. Formalized youth ministry is almost non-existent in Haiti. Consequently, the natural sense of community felt in the women's camp was not immediately apparent in the young adult camp. As with the women, these young people had come from throughout the northern region. They didn't know each other. They certainly didn't know me or the American seminarian who was sharing the camp leadership with me. This was all understandable. Slowly but surely, as we moved through the 2 weeks together, sharing meals, outdoor showers, portable toilets, and more significantly, music, prayer, dance, insights on centering practices, and leadership formation, trust was built and community was, in fact, formed. Among the 70-plus young people who attended the camp, I developed a close relationship with a number of them, including a young man named Linson Sime. Linson is one of six children, all boys. He and his six siblings live in Cap Haitian, while his mother and father are located some distance from Cap, where his father grows coffee. From our first encounter, I could see he had a nimbus, a light, and a wonderful spirit about him. He readily assumed leadership and searched for ways to both offer assistance and grow in his call to God. At one point, I noticed he had a hand-woven bracelet that he was wearing and asked if he made it. He said yes. I told him that if he had more, I would sell them. He could then use the revenue to help with his school fees and other personal needs. I brought back craft supplies after my vacation that August, and Linson's been making bracelets ever since. Linson and I also began talking about his father's coffee. I knew of a nonprofit called Singing Rooster and wanted to see if Linson's father could become part of the co-op that provides the coffee beans to Singing Rooster. After a few discussions on the matter, I received a call from Linson. His father was in Cap and wanted to meet with me. This was, of course, all orchestrated by Linson. Linson's father arrived with one of Linson's brothers and a friend of the family. I did my best to manage the conversation, asking a translator to jump in when needed. There is now growing promise that Mr. Sime may be able to eliminate a middleman, thereby providing direct access to a merchant and increasing the revenue stream for his family. Neither of these efforts would have been possible without the entrepreneurial spirit and deep faith of Linson. In a country where many feel the young adults are without focus and direction, a country, by the way, where 60% of the population is under the age of 30, Linson provides promise for Haiti's future. He's also a role model to his siblings and to his peers. He does all this without begging for things for himself, without a secret agenda cut to the United States, or some other self-serving purpose. I feel privileged that he's been in my life. He conjured creativity and energy on days when I might have otherwise struggled to find some. By the way, you'll have an opportunity to buy some of Linson's bracelets and his father's coffee at the fundraiser. One of the gifts of this ministry is sharing Haiti with the many people I love, especially those who are part of the Trinity family. A consistent way that this has occurred is through Tabasamu. Tabasamu has made 5 trips to Haiti. Each team has included a diverse group of youth and adults. Many of them are here this morning, including fellow missioner from Haiti, Julie Bird. While sustaining programming is provided in dental education for children and teacher training in oral health, a family is created. This is a family within the American team and an extended family with the Haitian partners and fellow team members. Lives are changed and bonds formed not previously imagined. The love for Haiti and its people becomes a part of the team members' way of being, so much that for some, one annual trip is not enough. This past summer, Emily Lachlan and Olivia Harrison, who've participated in the Tabasamu trips during the past 2 years, decided to help with 2 of the Vacation Bible School programs. They also managed to persuade Alec Coburn, a fellow TYG member, to join them. Emily and Olivia had just finished Mission Philadelphia. This had been preceded by the challenge of the end of school and exams. It didn't matter. They were determined to be a part of this inaugural program, so much so that they did their early plotting and planning without consulting their parents. It's fair to say that their presence ensured the success of the first Vacation Bible School programs for the Episcopal Church in Haiti, Region Nord. The days were long as we helped guide the church volunteers in the execution of the VBS programming and then provided training to the same volunteers in the afternoons. It was also ungodly hot. We all lived together, including Tim Silberg, a TYG alum who was assisting with the region's agricultural school. Despite the tight quarters and demanding schedule, everyone remained focused and upbeat. They left an indelible mark on the church communities in North Haiti, offering essential guidance and encouragement in newly developed leadership skills in ministry. These experiences mirror the message of today's psalm. He counts the number of the stars, and he calls them all by their names. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. There is no limit to his wisdom. He covers the heavens with clouds and prepares rain for the earth. He makes the grass to grow upon the mountains and green plants to serve mankind. He provides food for flocks and herds and for the young ravens when they fly and cry. When I stepped away from a decade of service as Trinity's Director of Youth and Children's Ministries, I was presented with a silver bracelet on which was inscribed Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through God who strengthens us. I wear that bracelet every day as it is an important reminder that we are God's and it is through God that we receive the strength to do the ministry to which we are called. Trinity has also been an essential part of providing me with the strength and encouragement in ministry. This has been particularly the case in my relationship with the young people of this parish, and I am truly indebted to you. I'm also indebted to the people of Haiti. Though today's passages from 1 Corinthians and Mark speak much about sharing the gospel in the hopes of conversion and going forth to proclaim the messenger, I always felt I was on the receiving end in Haiti. Rest assured that God is fully present and the gospel is alive in Haiti. For me, the real call is to find ways to build ministry together for the greater good. The seeds have already been planted. With time and continued commitment, I know the Diocese of Haiti, Region Nord, can experience expansive, sustainable ministry. Though my second appointment was to be for 3 years, 2013 to 2016, I returned to the States in October because of the birth of my first grandchild. While it was difficult to say goodbye to my full-time ministry and way of life in North Haiti, I knew that I wanted to be home to be part of the life of my granddaughter Macy's. I'm still in the process of navigating the balance between my day-to-day life here and my continued call to ministry in Haiti. I still plan to make targeted trips to Haiti, including the annual Tabasamu program. I also hope that we're able to bring Haitians here to complete the circle of cultural exchange and deepened understanding. As you learn more about this ministry that is already taking place in Haiti directly and indirectly through Trinity, you too may feel called to participate in some way. If so, I encourage you to reach out to me or others within our parish who've shared in that ministry. We would love to help explore ways that you may become involved. I want to offer heartfelt thanks to all of you who've held my ministry and that of Julie Bird in your prayers, both during the weekly services and during our appointments and along with your private prayers. Please continue to keep the ministry of the Episcopal Diocese of Haiti in your hearts and prayers. Amen.